You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. Packers Talk.
The whole Zoom thing actually helped them from that standpoint, which is fairly interesting. But that's the thing. It's not just something you're
pulling out of my butt.
Well, that's totally right. It.
That phrase works. I was thinking of a more eloquent term. Positing? Was that the word I was
positing
thinking?
Works. That's a, yeah. That's a little more cerebral, belly button staring,
That's what I was searching for. But,
not navel gazing.
Pulling out of the butt is fine, too.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime
Cheesehead
Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
So let's go out there and whip that ass.
Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers going deep on second and two. He's got a leap in Devontae Adams.
He's the man.
First and goal. Rodgers hangs in the pocket, throwing a lot of traffic in his car for the touchdown.
That defense is going to give a lot of team struggles. We got a defense.
Aaron Rodgers.
Once again, we got a defense.
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. We are back with another episode of Cheesehead Radio, now in our 11th season. Our hosts tonight are the enophilic Kelly Hodson, That Packer Girl on Twitter. Also joining us is the zithophilic CD Angeli, Tundravision on Twitter, and little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. Well, coming up later in the show will be our Hot Pockets and our game predictions. But first, it's time for us to open up the Packers playbook.
The playbook.
All right, Packer Nation, welcome back to Cheesehead Radio, our first postseason episode of Cheesehead Radio this year. And what a lot we have to celebrate. Hey, who has the number one seed in the NFC playoffs this year, guys?
Would not be the Chicago Bears.
It would not.
Green Bay Packers.
Wow.
Whoop.
An impressive win over the Chicago Bears. Maybe a little closer than it should have been at the beginning, but pulled away at
the
end. It is.
That's the Packers theme. Just embrace it. Just embrace it.
But then Mitch Trubisky looked in the mirror and remembered he was still Mitch Trubisky.
It's really interesting, guys, because there's a lot of people, bad takes exposed, going back to the beginning of the year, saying how the Packers weren't going to accomplish anything this year. Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur don't get along. Brian Gutekunst with a terrible draft. Packers are going to go 8-8, 9-7, miss the playoffs. A lot of old takes being exposed right now.
They were laughable then, and they're just even more fun to laugh at now.
But remember when people were gnashing their teeth that we hired who? Matt LaFleur? What's his record now? What is it, 26-6 in the regular season?
And still hasn't lost two games in a row.
Still hasn't lost to the Bears, ever.
Well, music we're pretty lucky to have these Packers. I think we have a special season, and tonight we have a special show for you. It's going to be our four quarters of Packers Talk coming right at you. And let's start out with our first quarter. Well, a big story from the season and of course this game was Devontae Adams really has become a man among boys on the playing field. Record-setting reception total this year, beating the record of, who was that guy? Number 84. I remember him. Who was he?
It's not bad talking because he's one of my favorite players of all time.
Oh, mine too, actually. Sterling Sharp tied the touchdown record in a single season. 115 receptions, beating the old record of 112, tied at 18 touchdowns. Devontae Adams is very possibly one of the Packers' best receivers of all time.
Well, if you look at his stats this year and you prorate it because he didn't play 2.5 games. So he's actually playing. It says 14 games if you look at stats, but it's actually 13.5. He had just as many that Sterling had in 94, which was his all-time high of 18 touchdowns. So if you prorate it, he may actually arguably have a better season than Sharp. And like I said, this breaks my heart because Sharp is one of my all-time favorite players. And it's exciting, but kind of sad at the same time watching the baton pass because I didn't think we'd ever have a receiver of this caliber again, and here we have it with Davante Adams.
Okay. First, I'll start off by saying, to me, Sterling Sharp was the best Packers receiver I've ever seen.
It's a shame
what happened. You know, it's a shame that he couldn't have a full career, because I think he would have been mentioned in the top five receivers of all time.
Ever.
Of all time. That's what that means, yes. But thanks for the clarification. having said that, you know, Davante Adams is on his way to work, you know, to tugging at Sharp's coattails, I think. I mean, he's not, if this continues, if he ends up having a full career, which is certain, you know, hopefully he will, then I think we'll be talking about Adams the way I'm talking about Sharp right now, which is really saying a lot. But it's sure looking that way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely been a magical season for him. And think, we always talk about the armchair GMs. Remember how much they were just angry at him, like they were with MVS in the second season. They wanted to run him out on a rail, and now look at him. I don't think there's a receiver in the league right now that can run alongside him, right? I think he's unstoppable. He's got the best hands.
He really has an amazing mix, and I think that's why he's been so important to this offense this year, because he is both one of their game-breaking threats, but he's also the possession receiver. In other words, he's really doing any role on the team that he wants. You know how we talk about Alan Lazard is so valued by Aaron Rodgers because he's willing to go over the middle and make all these blocks and you know, things that maybe the other receivers aren't willing to do. That's his role. Davante Adams plays any role he wants to play. That's where he is as a physical freak on the field, and Aaron Rodgers knows this. So, yeah, there are times Aaron Rodgers goes back and he says, you know what, I want to complete this pass with 100% surety. I'm going to look for number 17.
Yeah, I like his role. He's the final piece to the Rodgers puzzle, and he's so much different than the other receivers on the team right now. You look at MVS, and yes, you can look at the drop he had. Adams isn't your speed guy. You want the deep ball and no one catching it all the way to the end zone. That's going to go to MVS. But if you want that little tiny needle threaded with the impossible throw, it's always going to go to Adams.
You know, and we do have to give some credit. And I know it takes away from Devontae, and I apologize. But Aaron Rodgers is a little bit of a kingmaker, you know.
What's he apologizing for?
Well, because it makes it sound like Davante is only good because of Rodgers. And that's not true. Because like I said, you see him play on the field. He's such a physical creature. He's just a special freakish athlete. But let's be honest. Sterling Sharp had Anthony Dilwig and, you know, not 1989 Don Majkowski throwing.
And a little bit of Randy Wright, too.
Mike Tomczak, and then really Brett Favre in his formative years. You know, obviously, Sharp was gone and retired by the time Favre started hitting his MVP streak. So, you know, that's another testament to Sterling Sharp, and I think the three of us can all agree Sterling Sharp is certainly our favorite wide receiver, but Davante is on his way to definitely being up there in the top two, wouldn't you say? Or would you put Don Hutson there?
Oh, I've got to put Don Hutson there, without a doubt. I mean, just because he accomplished things when the forward pass was just not a thing. You know, it's amazing things when other teams just did not pass. And he was a groundbreaker, and he was superior athlete to pretty much everybody on the field at the time. So I still have to have Hutson in there. I can't put Davante Adams in front of him yet.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that is the end of the first quarter. All hail to Davante Adams, and we're certainly hoping for great stuff from Davante in this postseason. You're simply the best. Better than all. And now we're on to our second quarter, and we were just talking about him, Aaron Rodgers. Probably sealed up the most valuable player this season. What do you guys think? Think he's got it?
I think the last 2 weeks of the season is where he really, really did kind of wrap it up. Up until then, I really thought he was going head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes. And you look at them, statistically, it's almost a dead heat with them. They're both north of 65% completion. Mahomes was 66, Rodgers was 70.
The only place where they really differ is Rodgers has hung 10 more touchdowns in the air as opposed to Mahomes. But he's got the second best quarterback rating of all time. This guy is methodical. He rarely, if ever, throws an interception. I'm not slighting him at all. I think he's a fabulous quarterback, and I think he's worthy of the MVP. But I think Rodgers just stood out more this year to me.
Especially since, you know, air quotes, Rodgers has no weapons, right? We heard that all year, that he doesn't have weapons, doesn't have wide receivers other than Devontae Adams. We didn't draft a receiver. He doesn't have wide receivers other than Devontae Adams. I mean, the Chiefs have a whole slew of them.
That there is no doubt.
So if you want to make that argument, you know, that really doesn't work. I mean, I give Mahomes a lot of credit for only throwing 6 interceptions himself. To me, that's the most impressive stat he has out of everything, is the fact that he only threw one more interception than Rodgers. That's impressive for a guy who throws the ball around the way he does. So, but if you look at the touchdown passes and the efficiency and, you know, the quarterback rating and all that good stuff, and you get into the analytics as well, I don't think there's any doubt that Rodgers deserves it this year. I don't think anyone's playing as well as he is this year.
And maybe it's because I'm an insufferable homer, and I don't deny that. Rodgers really does raise up all of the players around him. Like you said, he's a kingmaker. He makes fabulous receivers like Adams look out of this world. But you could take somebody like an MVS or Equanimeous St. Brown and make them look really good. If they run their route clean and they catch it, suddenly they're looking as good as Adams.
Well, and I think, you know, I was going to make that point too. There's Big Bob Tonyan. You know, here's a guy that was, you know,
Big Bob.
Yeah, we didn't even know who he was last year. And Big Bob has come on, and now he's being mentioned in the same breath as, you know, George Kittle, as one of the premier tight ends in the NFC. And part of that, yes, you're right. When Rodgers was told he didn't have weapons, he just went out and created weapons. But I think, once again, if we can say that maybe Devontae Adams' success is partially due to the success of Aaron Rodgers throwing to him, some of Aaron Rodgers' success does have to go back to Matt LaFleur and putting him in a position to be regimented, to be disciplined in an offensive scheme that does make him have to create weapons around him, because he's going through reads and making quick decisions and getting that ball out in 3 seconds. The whole recipe is just coming together on offense in 2020.
And I think we saw glimmers of that last year, where Rodgers was still getting comfortable with the new offense. This year, you're definitely seeing him buy into the whole new scheme from LaFleur. You know, you don't see the skepticism. You see them collaborating on the sideline, which is something I don't think we saw for years with Rodgers and McCarthy.
Well, and what you also don't see this year is the old McCarthy stuff that had been held over last year. And Rodgers even, you know, discussed that over the offseason, they went through the playbook and they just decided, all right, well, some of this stuff just isn't working. Let's get rid of it. And the majority of that stuff was McCarthy stuff that they had, you know, held on to because Rodgers was supposedly comfortable with it. Well, you know, it didn't work. So I guess he got uncomfortable with it and acquiesced, and things have worked out pretty well, I'd say.
Yeah, I think they've got the chemistry that they were looking to have last year and finally gelled this year.
And I think COVID really contributed to it this year. I know the announcers were saying, well, what could happen if Aaron Rodgers had more time to work with Devontae Adams, et cetera. And they kept talking about during the program. I really think COVID helped because they actually had less time on the field and they were doing more conversations. Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers, really helping Aaron understand the intent of the offense and what the schemes were going to be. I think that's evident that he came out of this offseason really, really believing in it. And I think COVID helped that, because instead of Rodgers just going on the field and doing what always came natural to him mentally and physically and reacting, he had time just to sit and learn. And he really bought into the scheme. And the effects are great. It's a likely an MVP.
LaFleur mentioned that exact fact in the press conference, that they had more time that they normally would have had or taken to just go over things together and just get on the same page. And, you know, the whole Zoom thing actually helped them from that standpoint, which is fairly interesting. But that's the thing. It's not just something
pulling out of my butt.
Well, that's totally right. It.
That phrase works. I was thinking of a more eloquent term. Positing? Was that the word I was
Positing thinking? Works. That's a little more cerebral, you know, belly button staring, you know.
That's what I was searching for. But,
not navel gazing.
Pulling out of the butt is fine, too. So it's a fact. That's exactly what happened, which, you know, it turned out wonderfully.
But if you listen to Rodgers at the beginning of the season, 2020, for as much of a poopy-flavored lollipop of a year it was the year that Rodgers became a student of the game again. You talk to him in the interviews right as preseason was starting. He spent a lot of the offseason reviewing film and studying the game again. And I think this strategy, because you were kind of hampered by COVID, really played to his cerebral side of the game. There's nobody in the NFL with a higher football IQ than him. And to say that he went back and started studying it all over again tells me he was really looking at every aspect of this offense. How can you improve it? How can you, like you said, Al, they were taking plays out that didn't work anymore. You know, there was a lot of thought going into the offseason, and it was paying off dividends this year as the season progressed.
Yeah.
So let me ask you one final question. Would you be upset or offended if, like in 1997, Brett Favre shared an MVP award with Barry Sanders? Would you be okay if, say, Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers shared the MVP award this year?
I wouldn't have a problem with it, because Mahomes is out of this world great, too, and he's fun to watch.
Yeah. I don't mind the sharing.
Yeah, because I do look at their stats, and
they're pretty similar.
They're pretty much on top of each other, especially maybe if Mahomes would have played one more game and had a really good one. You know, it was good. But yeah, they're both great players, and State Farm has to be very happy.
Yeah, they made some good choices, right?
He sure
did. Even if he puts ketchup all over everything.
Yeah. Prudential's going like, why did we sign Cam Newton? Anyway, that will be the end of the second quarter. We've made it to halftime. We got another half of football conversation coming straight at you here on Cheesehead Radio. Kicking off the third quarter, some more good news. I don't know if we could have any more good news for the Packers this week, but we got some good news for the Packers this week. The Pro Football Hall of Fame named their final list of 20 finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Two former Packers on the list. Jersey Al,
yes.
Introduce us, would you?
Introduce us. Well, I'm Jersey Al. You're a CD. That's Kelly over there.
Ladies Charles and gentlemen, Woodson. It's a little late on the East Coast right now. Jersey Al's a little punchy.
Yeah, more than a little. Yeah, so Leroy Butler is nominated again. Made the finalists last year, but the Pro Football Hall of Fame decided to put in a lesser safety, Steve Atwater, into the Hall of Fame. Okay, so they can correct that this year. Charles Woodson, obviously, he's in, right? I mean, I don't think anyone would disagree that he's a first-year, you know, first-ballot Hall of Famer. So does that hurt Leroy Butler's chances?
Possibly.
What do you guys think?
Possibly, especially since at the end of Woodson's career, it's going to be safety versus safety. Are they going to let two Packer safeties get in at the same time?
Yeah, that's my concern there.
Yeah, that's my concern. So, looking back at his career, I was looking at stats this week, and Butler only scored one touchdown. And I remember watching it in my boyfriend's living room, who's now my husband. Do you know what happened with that one touchdown?
Are we Packers fans?
We are Packers fans.
Okay.
We've seen the replay a million times.
Then we know what happened, yes. Why don't you just tell us, Kelly?
Okay, the one and only time he scored was the birth of the Lambeau Leap. Except it didn't have a name back then, and it looked like he didn't make it into the stands, and it looked like he was hugging the end zone.
But he wasn't really the first, right? Didn't Robert Ferguson do it? Doesn't the story go that Robert Ferguson did it once?
But no, nobody remembers
Robert
it.
Robert Ferguson was after Butler. That was a different era. You're probably thinking of Robert Brooks, possibly?
Maybe. Packers
wide receiver. Brooks predates Butler.
Yeah. All right. So maybe it's Robert Brooks. Mm-hmm. But
nobody, case in point, nobody remembers it. Everybody remembers Butler.
Oh, without a doubt. Flying. Yeah. Because of the crazy play, too, right? With Reggie White lateraling it to him and everything.
It was awesome.
Later on. If you look at the film, you see that Reggie White was really out of bounds, but we won't talk about
it. We're not going to talk
about
on the out of bounds area.
Yeah. So, Kelly, you're at your boyfriend's house, Jersey Al. Where were you at the moment that happened?
What year are we talking?
Oh, that would have been, what, 95? 94?
95. Let's see.
Where did you watch the game from?
Wait, it was 94 because it was his first appearance in Madison.
If it wasn't on national TV, I probably didn't watch the game.
Okay. No, it was, I think, an early game on a Sunday.
Yeah, so I probably did not see the game.
Okay. I just happened to remember where I was.
Of course, I see the highlights. I saw the highlights.
Were you going to ask me where I watched the game from?
Where did you watch the game from? Were you at the game?
In the stadium.
Row 60, baby. Row 60, right above where Leroy Butler jumped. And I couldn't see anything because 59 rows of fans jumped up in front of me.
As they should.
But I was there for that game. That was an awesome game, and it was the coldest game.
500,000 other Packer fans.
Coldest game I've ever been at. Easily.
Really? How cold was that game?
Oh, it was cold. It was against the Raiders, and
you know what the
temperature was? Offhand, it was negative. The wind chill was negative something because it was like negative 30s, 40s. That wind was just whipping over the edge of the bowl, up my hat, down my shirt. It didn't matter how many layers I had on. Oh, that was the coldest game I've ever been at.
But anyway, getting back to comparing the two, I'm pretty sure Woodson, like you said, no question, Woodson's going to get in. I worry they won't take in two Packer safeties. So unfortunately, I think it's going to be Butler that has to wait at least another year. But prove me wrong. I'd be happy if it both happened to both of them because I think they're both instrumental at different times when the Packers were just at their best.
So the website Pro Football Reference has a metric that they use, which is their Hall of Fame monitor. So they attach this number to every player. It's a metric of, you know, how many championships, how many Pro Bowls, how many All Pros, how many championships, all these other career milestones that create this number, for which about 100 is like this consideration of Pro Bowlers. So the number that's assigned to Charles Woodson right now is a 124.18. The average Hall of Fame defensive back is a 106. So he is...
He's a lock, obviously. Yeah,
he's a lock. They're the only person who is above 106 that is not in the Hall of Fame right now are Charles Woodson and Darrell Revis.
Revis is not in the Hall of Fame?
Not in the Hall of Fame. He only retired in
2017. Yeah, he hasn't been out 5 years. Yeah, that's why.
Oh, okay. I thought he's been gone longer.
Now, the next person, if you go down the list, is Charles Woodson at 124, Dale Revis at 110. You then have the average at 106. The next defensive back who is not in the Hall of Fame is Leroy Butler.
And his number is?
97.25, but still ahead of Hall of Famers Troy Polamalu, Steve Atwater, Cliff Harris, Lem Barney, Aeneas Williams, Darrell Green. So he has a better number than a pretty darn good dime defense there. But you're right.
Aeneas Williams, St. Louis?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. I have a vague, vague memory of him. But anyway, okay.
And the one metric that sets Polamalu off from Butler, which he's going to take a hit, is Polamalu has more rings.
And hair. Yeah. That gets you in.
But definitely, I think no matter how you slice it, yeah, I think Charles Woodson gets in. I think the question is going to be, is he going to go in as a Raider or is he going to go in as a Packer?
Wait, isn't that just a myth? You just go in with a yellow jacket because it's a bust with nobody's color on their uniform.
Jersey Al.
Is that right? Do they not indicate a team on the bust?
No, you don't indicate a team. It's just like you're from the head. It's like from your shoulders up and they don't have any color. It's bronze. You just go in as a Hall of Famer, and you can talk about your teams, and you'll be mentioned when they give you your biography, but I don't think you have to have an affiliation. I don't think they do.
Yeah, it was probably 30 years ago that I was at the Hall of Fame, so I can't say that I can really remember. You know,
there'll be pictures.
Kelly, I think you're positing. I think you're positing.
No, I think I remember other people arguing this in the past.
Or pulling things.
Out of my what?
Well, I know the Baseball Hall of Fame, they have the cap, right, of the team. that they go in as, right? Don't they have the cap on in the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think so. I don't follow baseball as closely. And I know there was the controversy on the Twitterverse when they announced it, because they showed Woodson in a Raiders uniform, but that's where he ended his career. So I'm not all that surprised that they posted him as a Raider, because that's how he retired.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't think it matters.
Actually, I have to say, Kelly is correct.
I knew it.
I didn't say she wasn't, but I just didn't remember.
Well,
you of little faith, CD.
Pro Football Hall of Fame says, often individual teams and even the Hall of Fame will list enshrinees according to their team or teams on which they spent a significant period of time. An enshrinee, however, is not asked to, quote-unquote, declare, nor does the Hall of Fame, quote-unquote, choose a team under which a new member is enshrined. So, but if he were, would it be the Raiders or the Packers?
I'd say the Raiders. He started and ended his career as a Raider.
But he won a ring with us.
I know.
I'll have a talk with Charles.
You do that.
See, this is fan-generated hype.
Give me some bottles of his wine.
Football player.
All right, and that'll bring us to the end of the third quarter. All right, ladies and gentlemen, our fourth quarter, a little bit of fantasy right now. Thinking about this Packers team going into the playoffs, obviously we have the bye week, which is fantastic. Let's say we were able to wave a magic wand and we could shore up one position on this team. We could replace one player on this team. The words are small.
Read the words.
A bigger font, would you? If you could pick two players from the Packers past to now magically come to 2021 to be on this team, what two players would you choose? Kelly, we'll start with you.
All right. Part of this is because I've been so frustrated with special teams this year.
Oh.
I would pick Desmond Howard.
That's interesting.
As a kick returner.
That's actually a really good choice.
Because he was MVP of Super Bowl 30, because he was the best at what he did. Not scoring once, twice. I feel like I'm kind of compelled to pick somebody on defense right now and want to pick a different era. So part of me wants to say Clay Matthews at his best because we don't have a really strong inside linebacker, but I don't know if that's what I want to settle for. So I'm going to do that tentatively until something better comes up.
Oh, no, you have to
decide. Actually, no, I take it back. I take it back.
Go ahead. Take it back.
Jerry Kramer is a guard. Let's shore up that line even more.
Interesting. Okay. CD, how about you?
Well, I really like her idea of a Desmond Howard.
You can pick
really,
him, too.
No. That's
reason
okay.
You can't.
I wouldn't have picked Desmond Howard if you would have just asked me off the cuff. But I'm just going to say to Kelly, excellent choice.
Well, seriously, have we had a good kick returner at all this year since Irvin got hurt?
Well, no.
No. So, to the point where we were desperate to the point that I actually asked the Twitterverse, don't laugh, is Tremont available right now? Because at least he won't go backwards and he won't drop the ball.
So anyway, now that Kelly's done justifying her pick, I'm going to go with, I think, an obvious answer. And I think there's no way you can't bring this guy in and not upgrade your team. And I've got to say Reggie White. I think.
Oh, yeah. How did I forget that? Put him on the defensive line.
And, I don't care about snacks. snacks. Yay for snacks. But you put Reggie White in place of Tyler Lancaster, and I don't think there's a team that has a chance. That's just so much pressure he can put on there. My second choice, I think, will surprise you.
Surprise me.
Okay. Because I think we need a really, really good offensive tackle. I'll feel a little bit better now that Bakhtiari's not going to be there. I'm going to say Forrest Gregg.
As soon as you said offensive tackle, I knew where you were going.
Yeah.
Considered the first great offensive tackle. I think even to this day, he's still considered certainly one of the top five of all time at the position.
Oh, he definitely defined the position.
Didn't Lombardi call him the best player he ever coached?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'll take Greg and Reggie White, and I think we've got
those are two powerhouse choices, boy.
Mm-hmm.
You went for the beef.
Hey, I went for the home run.
Yeah.
He wants the hump move and he wants Brady on his back if we have to play him.
Kelly was playing small ball. That's fine. I went for the home run. Let's see what you're going to get us with here, Jersey Al.
Well, one of my two choices is going to match one of yours. And that has got to be Reggie White. That, I mean, there's just no other person I could bring in besides above Reggie White. I mean, just what he did in the playoffs for the Packers to bring him in for these playoffs and, like you said, replace Tyler Lancaster or Dean Lowry. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I'd swap both of them for Reggie
White. Nobody would have a bigger effect coming in on this team than Reggie White. So that's my number one. My number two is a guy that we spoke about earlier, and that would be Sterling Sharp.
Yeah.
Picture Davante Adams with Sterling Sharp over on the other side. What the hell are defenses going to do?
Who would you cover?
What are they going to do? Both of those guys are uncoverable. Both
in
of
their
them.
Primes, absolutely.
And then you them. Let Aaron Jones run up the middle, and they wouldn't know what to do with any of them.
Yeah, so those are my two, Reggie White and Sterling Sharp, hands down.
And I think that's going to take us to the end of our fourth quarter and our Packers playbook. I think every single quarter was a win this week, guys.
4 for 4.
All right. Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for our Hot Pocket. We've reached the point in the show where each of us get our final moment, our final regular season moment, to get up on our soapbox and read you all the riot act of whatever's going on inside our heads. This is our Hot Pockets, and Jersey Al, as always, we'll start with you.
All right. It's been an interesting week on my Facebook page. You know, those Facebook memory things that pop up have been popping up all week. Pictures of me at Lambeau Field 7 years ago in 7 below weather. Then me and my son a few years later at the playoff win over the Giants, also known as the famous Odell Beckham punches a hole in the wall game. And then me and CD last year tailgating in the parking lot. Obviously, January has been a special month for me. Now, normally these would be great memories that would put a smile on my face. But this year, it makes me kind of sad, as it just stands to remind me that I won't be going to Green Bay this playoff season. You know, this could have been the year I lived my dream of attending an NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field. But it's not just about me. Thousands of people won't be going to Green Bay. Local businesses won't reap the rewards of all those visitors. And there'll be no playoff atmosphere for the Packers players in Lambeau Field. It sucks big time. But more importantly, I'm alive, I'm staying safe, and I hope you all are too. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
You know, the Packers did something right. They used Marquez Valdes-Scantling correctly, minimizing the one mistake per game we've come to expect. Now look, he got a scintillating long bomb touchdown in the second quarter where he used his speed. He didn't just blow by the linebacker trying to cover him. He made like a question mark around the linebacker and made the catch. It was an amazing touchdown. And then he dropped a sure second touchdown to kick off the third quarter. Cue Mark Daniels and the Packerati wailing and gnashing of teeth. Why aren't we cutting MVS? But let's look at this. The critical fumble that he had that got Mark Daniels all worked up was a game against the Colts. It was an overtime. They were backed up against their own goal line. It invited disaster. At that time, that's where you need to pass to a sure-handed possession receiver with a 100% chance of making this happen. That's a Devontae pass or a Tonyan pass or a Jones pass. It's not Valdes-Scantling. As I said then in MBS's defense, he's a high-risk, high-reward player. So look, we had a lead. It was the first drive of the third quarter. Rodgers took a shot downfield on second down to MBS. No harm, no foul. Even an interception wouldn't have spelled the end of the game for the Packers. A catch, high reward, would have been an early dagger for the Bears. But on long bombs, MBS was 1 for 2 for the day. But more importantly, he wasn't put in the position to be the GOAT. The high risk wasn't there, because we always have to expect one miscue a game from him. The Packers using their personnel correctly at the right time, great for the playoffs. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
One win and they go to the NFC Championship. One more than that, and they make it to the big dance in Tampa. The Packers have been down this road before. In 2011, they were hungry. And a wild card berth after Pluto lined up with Jupiter and the Eagles oddly played a weird role then too, like they did this past week. In 2012, they were great, but they were run out of town in their own stadium in a one-and-done embarrassment against the Giants. Since then, the Packers have made the NFC Championship only to wilt in heartbreaking fashion, not once, twice. But after the never-ending parade of suck of current events today, I am leaning on football as a respite now more than ever. This team is starting to feel special in what feels like a very difficult year. Rodgers, Adams, Jones, there is no better trio in the NFL right now. So turn off the news, forget about politics for a while. This team is catching lightning in a bottle. Join me and escape the insanity of this week. Two more games and they're vying for the Lombardi Trophy. Two more wins and we will be Title Town again. Home field advantage as long as they stay in the playoffs. We haven't had that in a long time. And it's for all the marbles.
We're playing for all the marbles this time. No break. Hit the gas, boys. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
Cheesehead Radio. Packer game predictions.
You know, the Green Bay Packers may have a bye, but there's a lot of games this weekend. And obviously, there's three games in the NFC that are going to determine who the Packers host at home next week. So with the Packers, we'll end up playing the bottommost seed. Let's go through the three NFC games and pick the winners and figure out who we're going to end up playing. We got Tampa Bay at Washington. Tampa Bay favored by 8.5 points. The LA Rams at Seattle, with Seattle favored by 4.5 points at home. And Chicago at New Orleans. New Orleans favored by 10 points. Who will our opponent be? Kelly? We'll start with you.
I think I'm going to end up with the same idea CD does, but I really hate the Bears, I hate Brady, and I hate Nanobubbles Wilson. I can't stand any of these teams, but I don't want to see Chicago taking out the Saints, even if they don't have a running game because of COVID. Who knows who's going to be playing for the Saints this week? The Rams can handle Seattle. The unknown variable's Tampa. They could be the team that mopped the floor with us, or they could be the team 2 weeks later that I wonder how did we lose to them. Does that mean the football team of Washington has a chance? Yeah, my heart says Washington. We'll face them. Brain overrides and says we'll play the Rams. But oh my God, anyone but the Seahawks. So I'm going to waffle and I don't know.
We're not allowing waffle.
Okay, then I'll go with Rams.
Okay. I was tempted to take the Rams, upsetting the Seahawks. Mainly because I'm sick of seeing the Seahawks in the playoffs. But alas, with Jared Goff just 2 weeks removed from thumb surgery and Seattle getting healthy and getting players back, it's kind of hard for me to do that. So wild card weekend, I think all of the higher seeds, the Saints, the Rams, and the Bucks will all win, which means Tom Brady is coming to Lambeau Field. Get ready, people.
Well, personally, I feel like out of these three games, there's got to be an upset somewhere. I'm going to end up picking the most unlikely of them. See, I think the Rams, for the same reason Al said, are going to lose to the Seahawks. And I think the Saints, just out of pure sanity, are going to prevail over the Bears. It's going to leave the number two and the number three seeds intact. But I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say that Washington FC's very, very impressive defense cancels out Tom Brady's big show on offense, which we've seen done before this year with a good defense that's taken him on his heels. They force a few turnovers, maybe score on one of them, and all of a sudden there's a Houdini at home to end the Tampa Bay season and send Pouty Tom home. Packers end up playing Washington at home in their playoff game.
Thank you so much for joining us on Cheesehead Radio, now in our 11th season. Be sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Follow us at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcatching app. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying, play Packers Talk Podcasts. That's a wrap. Go Pack Go. And these guys are the ugliest men in all the world.
Ciao.
Ciao a tutti.
Go back to guys.
Jeez, said radio.
And little old me, Packers jersey out. Oh, Jesus, now I'm all discombobulated.
It's not me, hooray!
But
Al, all you need to do is read the words. Read the words. I mean, it's not that hard.
The words are missing. You know what threw me off? Words are missing.
Yeah.
Somebody messed with this part here. I'm just saying, we're back in the, now in our 11th season.
Oh, look who's getting sabotaged.
Our host tonight, or joining us tonight, or our host tonight, right, you should say?
Wrong. Host.